Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
So glad that y'all are here on Mother's Day, and welcome to the Southwest, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And we're going to have a special day for you in store, and you'll see over on most of y'all on the right side of the room, there's a Mom OSA table. And so all of you moms, ladies only, okay? And so even if you're not a mom, but you want to go over there and partake, feel free. Lord, it is so, so true that your goodness upon all of us is just beyond comparison. And Lord, even in the hardest days, Lord, your goodness just abounds, even when we don't know it, even when we don't feel it. And so I'm so thankful for that, Lord. And we are here to worship you today, as I always say, Lord, to give you all the glory, to give you all the honor, to give you all the praise for our lives and for the eternal life and forgiveness that you give us. Lord, and so thank you. Thank you that we get to gather in forgiveness. We get to gather and just bask and just roll around, Lord, in your mercy and Father, in your love for us. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for that. Lord, and as we are here, though, I've already said, sometimes we don't feel it. And Lord, sometimes the circumstances weigh heavy on us. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone that's feeling that heaviness today. Lord, there's people in our family of faith here, Lord, they are, they're in the hospital, Lord, they're in the sunset of their life, and Lord, I just pray for him and for his family today. Lord, we just pray for all of the Job family. Lord, we pray for each and every person, Lord, here. We're so thankful for baptism. We're thankful for faith that just rises up among us here, Lord. And as we are, Lord, I pray that we would just see it, Lord. And as Ashley comes today, I pray that you would just overflow in her, Lord. Lord, that you would just bring your holy word through her voice and through her actions, that we would know you and draw closer to you. It's in the holy name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And as you are, I'm going to ask the house lights to come up just for a moment. And if you're a mom in the room, not just a female, not just a lady, not just a girl, but if you're a mom in the room, would you please stand? And so we are going to pray over you. Yeah, they do deserve some thanks. Some of you children that are going, you're going to get yours, I promise you. So for the moms that are standing, just thank you. Of course, I have a mom, but I didn't really know what moms did until Robin became a mom. And then I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous, right? And so we just want to pray over you. And if you're standing around them, if there's somebody beside you, just pray for them. Families, pray for them. Dallas, if you want to run, if y'all want to go get by your mom, you can do that. If y'all want to come up and be with her, you can do that too. Really embarrass y'all and Ashley really good. Y'all deserve it, and we're so thankful for you. All right, let's pray for them. Lord, I am very thankful. Lord, I'm very thankful for moms. Lord, just for the heart that they have, Lord, for the hard work that they pour out. And even, Father, when they're first-time moms, they don't even know what they're signing up for, but they know it's a calling in their life. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, and I just pray that you would return to them. I don't know how, but Lord, just all the time, Father, the time they spend just thinking before they ever take action. Lord, for the patience, for the outpouring of their love and their grace, Lord, and their mercy upon everybody in the family, because they go way above and beyond, Lord. And it's not that the dads don't do, but Father, the moms are up before, they stay up after. They are planning and they are driving and they are cooking and cleaning and doing homework and, Lord, just all the things. Lord, and I just pray that you'd return to them in some way a measure that they can understand by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray that they're, as Proverbs says, that their family would rise up around them, and Lord, and would bless them, Lord, would love them, and Lord, would give them just the honor and respect and the love that they are due. And Lord, for those of us that don't have a mom around, Lord, I pray that you would just love on us today. And Lord, if our kids aren't here with us, Lord, that you would give us grace and mercy, Lord, in their absence, Lord, and just bind us all closer together in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen, amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. I'm going to pray over the offering, and there's information on the screens. There's boxes out front, and we can you can put your money out there, your checks, or you can do it online. Father, thank you again just for your presence with us today. And Lord, as we give, I know it's hard sometimes, and Lord, sometimes we wonder how, and we wonder even why we're doing this. Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to us just the cause. Lord, reveal to us the reason, reveal to us the why as we give today. And then Lord, and as you do that, Lord, I pray blessings upon every giver. Lord, that there would just be a return on the investment, monetarily or some other way in the life of each gift. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. All in the name of Christ, amen, amen. If you hadn't had a chance to get your mimosa, feel free. I know Ashley won't be offended if you're walking around while she's teaching today. Thank you to Ashley for being willing to do this. I'm not sure it was very willing, no, but I just, yeah, I know, it's kind of an iffy thing. That. I know. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're preaching on Mother's Day. Oh, okay. I asked, would you be willing?
No, let me tell y'all what he did.
Oh, no, no, we're not going down this
he
road.
He sent Robin to ask. Like, if we're going to tell the story, we're going to tell the story.
It's getting bigger by the second, can you tell? Anyway, y'all should just be very proud. I don't like the word proud, but I think you know what I mean. I mean, you ought to be very proud of Ashley. She does so much, and she has grown so much over the course of the year she's been here. She's a great speaker, and she's great for your children, and I'm just so blessed, and we are so lucky, quote unquote, to have her. And so, Ashley, it's all yours. Children?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, children's worship is with the dads today. And so, you can release the children. Release the hounds.
There will be a nursery worker in there, too. So, if you're reluctant to send them with the dads, then just so you know,
it's going to be fantastic.
There's paid supervision as well. All right, so this week on social media, we put out some momisms and asked you for your suggestions. And so I changed these from the Facebook page. Some of these are mine that I use, and I don't even mean to. Like, the words just tumble out. You just say the momisms. That's why they're momisms, right? Like, this room looks like a tornado went through it. Yeah? Yeah. Nothing good happens after midnight. That one's not mine yet. So that was a suggestion from the Facebook crowd. I love you no matter what. Okay. We'll see. There is nothing more hopeful than a child who just heard the words "we'll see." And it's the saddest false hope we're putting in our kids, right? Yeah. Just wait what the heck just happened? This. We should make sure Nicole's not tied up back there, because... Okay, call me when you get there. I'm not really there yet either, but I'm sure that's coming, and thank God for Life 360, right? Yeah, just wait till we get home, because we all messed up and didn't do that the first time, right? We pinched the kid in the grocery cart, and they were like, "Stop pinching me!" And then it made it worse than it really was, so now it's just wait till you get home. Yeah. Okay. Well, so while these are great ones, I'm actually going to talk about three momisms today. And so the first one that is mine when I have had enough is Jesus, take the wheel. I laughed out loud when Matt said this last week because this is when my family knows I have had it. I don't just say it. I bust into song wherever I am, in the kitchen, the living room, the car, and I'm just done. Like, y'all have heard the Carrie Underwood song, right? Yeah. So I just start singing. And that's when they know, like, oh, this is it. She's done. Okay. I think it was Wednesday of this week that happened. Yeah. Yeah. It is not. It is. We think it's going to be a little more collaborative in giving Jesus the wheel. Like, I do not give Jesus the wheel. That is exactly what it looks like when I'm giving Jesus the wheel. Okay. It's not how it looks. And I know that I can't be the only one in the room doing that, and that I am not the only one in here with control problems. Anyone? 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 Okay, here's why I know I'm not the only one, is because I asked for some feedback on this from a few of you in the room, and I got it. So I know that I am not the only one, even though they're not raising their hands. But why do we have control problems as parents, like as coworkers, as whatever it is? We put it on ourselves. People put it on us, as moms specifically. When I walked out of the room singing Jesus Take the Wheel, I heard Matt telling the boys, he was like, this is not a democracy. It is a dictatorship, and mom is in charge. so we put the control on ourselves, and we take the control when it's given to us. Like, that's just what we do. And so the problem is that the control leads to us playing out things that don't actually happen. Okay, anybody rewriting the script in their head constantly of how it's going to go? Okay, the what ifs of all the things. And so when we're writing those what ifs, we're making up the future, which is not our job. We're turning our lives into like full, we're making them full of fear and anxiety. And then we're letting that fear and anxiety take the trust that we should put in God and making it mistrust, and we're not trusting. And so that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, is how do we get back to putting that trust and that control where it's supposed to be. Side note, this is not in my notes, but I'm going to say it. There was nothing like getting knocked down and having to like experience my own words this week. We had a very hard week. Wednesday was just the tip of the iceberg. Then there was Thursday, and there was Friday, and there was Saturday, right? And so nothing like God telling me, hey, not only are you going to get up and talk about this, but you're going to practice it, and you're going to do this, and you're going to experience this before you tell everyone about it on Sunday. So I'm working on it too, is the point here. Okay. So I show the kids this Bible all the time. It's this little Bible. I actually got this for Mother's Day several years ago. And this Bible just like opens to Philippians 4. That's just like where it goes, because that is like my go-to verses, my go-to chapter. Like when I don't know what else to do, I go to Philippians 4. And that is where forever and ever and ever, like I have drawn inspiration when I need it. And so Philippians 4 actually has a lot about what we should do when this happens. What I love is my study Bible. This is what I use when I actually have to sound like I know what I'm talking about, because the study Bible tells me what to do here. The title of Philippians 4 is actually practical counsel in my study Bible. So that's what we're getting today, is some practical counsel out of Philippians 4. And so 4:6-7 tells us, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. So that's the scripture that tells us, really, like, let Jesus take the wheel. Okay, Paul wrote Philippians, and he was the perfect biblical example of Jesus take the wheel. Let it be known to God, and like give it to him in prayer. Have thanksgiving, and just go with it. But how? How do we do that? Well, he goes on, to 4:8, which says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So just don't think about the fear and anxiety. Easy enough? No, right? No, because we do these what ifs, okay? And these are the actual what ifs that I got from some of your fellow church friends here. Okay, what if I forget my child's doctor's appointments, practice, pickup time? What if I forget to get a babysitter? What if I let my kid or my spouse or my family down? What if my house isn't clean enough? What if I'm not being a good role model for my kids? What if I'm not raising them good enough at all? What if my failures become my kids' failures? What if what I said is being perceived wrong, that it's hurting someone's feelings or it's made them mad at me? What if there's something so terrible that I haven't even thought of it yet? Okay, we live in a what if worst case scenario world. These are everyone else's thoughts in the room, and I'm fairly certain that what ifs are the gift from Satan that keep on giving. Like, we get those thoughts and we just keep getting them worse and worse and worse until we can't even imagine something so bad. And so how do we get back to what is praiseworthy? So when we're doubting God, what do? Well, fortunately for us, Paul went on. There's more. And so Philippians 4:9 tells us, "Put it into practice and the peace of God will be with you." So we're going to practice. I'm going to put on my teacher hat. For those of you in the room who don't know, before I took this job, I was a teacher for a very long time. So you all just became my eighth grade middle school classroom. There were notes on your seats as you walked in. And so the guiding questions are what we can actually do with this scripture. Like, how do we let go of the what ifs and put our trust in God? And so the first thing that we do is we write down or we focus on the what if, or the bad, negative, anxious, provoking thought. And so identify the problem is basically what we're saying here. And so taking one of the what ifs, what if I let my family down? Well, I let that what if and what if and what if till it leads to, if I'm letting my family down, I'm failing as a mom and a wife. Okay, so the second thing we do is we process that. Is it true? Did I let my family down? Quite possibly, but does that mean I'm failing as a wife? No. Does it mean I'm failing as a mom? No. Okay, so you have to process that thought. You have to work through that thought and identify the truth. And then we have to take it to God. And so these are some scriptures on the back. There's some guiding scriptures there where you can take that to God. These aren't the only ones, obviously, but everybody needs a place to start. And so that's what's back there for you. So those are your cheat sheets there. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. And so those scriptures don't say the bad things aren't going to happen. They don't say that some of the what ifs might not come true. They don't say that we're going to live these perfect lives if we put our trust in God. It just says that when those happen, he is still there for us. And that is what we have to remember. I particularly like the part about, for the Lord holds them up by the hand, because like, I literally have a vision in my head of like being like pulled out of whatever it is when I read that scripture. And so then we make the choice. Do we put our trust in God? Do we trust what he has told us is true, or do we continue to let the what ifs take hold? And so when we process those thoughts with the scripture, we make the choice to let go of them and, for lack of a better saying, let go and let God. Okay, another momism, and this is hard because even when we're processing those thoughts, we know that life is not fair. There's a slide. We know that life is not fair. Okay, I have a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old. Do you know how unfair everything is in the Laycock house? Okay, the 6-year-old wants all the things the 13-year-old has. The 13-year-old wants all the things he had, and he wants to be babied like the 6-year-old, and he wants the coddling. So there's never a fair moment in our house because we live in kindergarten and middle school. So it's never fair. Never fair. So my family knows all about unfair and is told all the time, life's not fair. They hear this often. Okay, so we live in a world of comparison. We know that life isn't fair, but it doesn't keep us from comparing ourselves to others, most likely others who we know we can never achieve what they have. Okay, in college, I'm going to show my age, but I was a big fan of Lauren Conrad. I loved The O.C. I loved Laguna Beach. Those shows were the best. Not born into that. Not living on a beach in California. Do not have the setup, perfect internships, right? I'm over here student teaching and trying to count my pennies to get Subway for dinner while I'm watching those shows, right? We live in a world of comparison, and it's put on us. It's there in media, in TV, in social media. That is what we see, okay? And so when our circumstances are not fair, once again, we have to capture those thoughts. We have to go back to what we know is true, okay? No, I don't live in Laguna Beach, but do I have it pretty good most of the time? Yes. Okay, so again, there's a scripture for that in Philippians 4. This is verse 12 and 13. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. And the part that I have a hard time with is replacing the him with the me. It is not me who strengthens me. It is God who strengthens me. So again, we have to put it into practice. So when the what ifs start, okay, what if I'm not raising my kids right at all? That was a what if someone chimed in with. Okay, I'm not raising my kids right at all. What if they go to someone's house and they don't act right when they're there? They speak terribly. They use a word that they heard from their dad, not their mom, right? And then the mom tells the other moms, right? Then my kid's never going to get invited to anyone's house again. And they're not going to have any more friends. They're going to withdraw. They're going to be depressed themselves. Okay? They're going to suffer in their schoolwork because they're withdrawn. They're dropping out. They're not going to graduate. And now I've got them eventually living on a street corner before this is all said and done because they said that word that they heard from their dad at a friend's house. Right? That's the spiral that we put ourselves through. And we have to take the spirals a different direction. Instead of spiraling down, we've got to spiral them back up. We don't let the lie take control that we are the terrible parents. We are overwhelmed as parents. We are overwhelmed as spouses. We are overwhelmed as fill in the blank, whatever job you do. But it doesn't mean that we are terrible at it. So we go back to the plan. We capture the thought or the what if. We process through it. Is it true? We go back to scripture to encourage us, to remind us that while the bad things are going to happen, God is going to be there through it all. Okay? And then we pray about it and we go back to what is true. Okay. Last momism. I don't care if everyone else is doing it. Oh my gosh, I hated this one when I was a teenager, and now I'm saying it. right? This one is the worst. It's still the worst because we still want what everyone else is doing. I really still, like, if I get the house in Laguna Beach tomorrow, like, peace out, y'all. I'm gone, okay? But that's the thing. Back to it. We live in a world that's, full of comparison. Comparison leads us to being overwhelmed, and that leads us to cynicism. I was listening to a podcast the other day about cynicism, and it was talking about how our world has become so cynical that that's where people go first, and that because we are comparing so much to everything, this wasn't a Christian podcast, by the way, it was just a life podcast, but oh my gosh, how applicable. Like, it's going back to, we're comparing ourselves and it's just making us down. And all we hear about is how bad this is and how bad that is. And then that's what we're believing. We don't even give something a chance to be true or to be good because we already thought it was bad. And so something to remember is when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison. So really his circumstances could not have been worse. And yet he was telling us how to get through the tough times, okay? Because that's probably all he had was his hope in Jesus. And we don't have to get to a rock bottom place. We don't have to let it drag us all the way down to use these tools and to use these scriptures to bring us out, to let God give us the hand and pull us out. The hole doesn't have to be that deep. We can do that before we get there. And like I said, I'm not good at this. And God said, oh, by the way, you're going to practice this before you preach it. So I didn't get to be the mom who just talked out of the side of her mouth and wasn't doing what she said. Okay, the world tells us to put on our big girl pants, our big boy pants, and handle our problems. The world tells us we have to do it ourselves. The world tells us we have to be independent, but we don't. We have to lean in and we have to give God the control. We have to let him have the wheel. We have to let him steer us. We have to do that. But it takes our consent. It takes us giving him the hand. It takes us processing through the scriptures. It takes us doing our part. So when Matt sent Robin to talk to me about doing the sermon, I kind of had this idea in my head because I know I struggle with this. And so I was figuring I probably wasn't the only one. And then I start thinking about what I'm going to do, and I kind of tell Matt my ideas, and then things, they just start popping up everywhere, like everywhere. All this starts popping up. So like my Instagram feed is full of these things. Some of the things you are asking in your life, you're asking God to change, but don't be surprised when he changes you instead of changing it. Trusting God's plan is the only secret I know in the gentle art of not freaking out. I'm not sure what is making your emotions feel a little tangled today, but I do know when I spend a few minutes reminding myself of God's promises, it's much easier to release all my worries back to him. God, I have no idea where you are taking me, but I trust you. It's hard to hear God's voice when you already decided what you want him to say. These are just the screenshots, like from my Instagram feed, of all the things everybody else had to say about this while I was planning on talking to y'all today. The best is I follow Louis Giglio, he's a preacher, on Instagram, but I do now follow his wife Shelley. So as this is what I'm thinking about, he had a prayer, thoughts before falling asleep. God, you will be working on it while I sleep. I will awake to what you have done. You do not need me. You use me. I don't have all the answers, but you do. I can't, but you can. I need sleep. You don't. I place all my fears in your hands. My rest is my worship. My God is able. A few scrolls down later, Shelley, his wife, Giglio, pops up in a suggested for you post. So far, I've made it through 100% of my most difficult moments. That's a pretty stunning statistic. So instead of despair and depression, I want to trust and choose joy in the hardest days. I want to believe that if God has brought me through this so far, he will do it again. And so that was the one that was like the final tipping point for me. Like, okay, I see you, God. I've got this. This is what I'll talk about today. And so you just start seeing it everywhere. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, for your hand, for extending it to us, God, even when we don't want to take it, Lord, when we don't want to reach and we want to white knuckle it back on the steering wheel, Lord, thank you for always leaving your hand there for us, God. We are so thankful for all you do for us, even when we are in those moments where we cannot see that it's you we need to give control to, Lord. When we can't see you working, Lord, just help us to remember that you are right there. Lord, whatever scriptures we need at the time, Lord, I just pray that somebody gets it when they need it, Lord, whether it's in their Instagram feed or their Bible just flops open to that page, God, whatever hurt or whatever troubles are coming, Lord, the answers are there and you give them to us. Lord, thank you for all the moms who are momming, the moms who have moms, those of us who just have someone so special holding us up here on earth because you sent them right for us, Lord. We are so, so thankful for them and for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I get to pray today, and I didn't have my Bible because it's somewhere in my house, which sounds horrible, but that's just life, right? Got lots of mom things going on and work things, and I think what's really great, I'm going to read from Colossians 3, but I think we all have a lot of moms who weren't our birth moms, so mom, if you're watching, love you. Sue, if you're watching, that's my mom by choice, that's my husband's mom, love you. Marcy Cato, who was my friend's mom as a kid, she was like a mom to me. So I just want to take a second and remember all the moms who maybe were moms to you. They weren't your birth mom. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So whatever mom emotion, whatever mom characteristic you need to throw on today, mine will definitely be all of them. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Maybe the patience. Whatever those are, I encourage you to put those on, just like you put on the full armor of God. As we raise our children, we raise other people's children. We love them, we forgive them, we teach them how to be fully functioning, God-loving adults. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Thank you to all the moms out there who were, who will be, and who will raise our children's children's children. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.